Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of OpenSourceEducation.online.
And I'm James Evan Pilato, still of MediaMonarchy.com. With this upward trend of viral transmission, we're taking a proactive and precautionary measure. We have that story, plus the new gas world order. But first, I was just talking about the Monarchy Discord server last week. Nepal's first female prime minister chosen in digital uprising through Discord. The platform for gamers not fighting and arguing all the time. In an unprecedented moment in global political history, as DiplomaticWatch.com writes, Nepal has become the first country to select a world leader through a digital vote on the social media platform Discord. On September 12, 2025, Sushila Karki, 73-year-old former Chief Justice, was sworn in as Nepal's interim prime minister, marking a historic milestone not only for digital democracy, but also for gender equality as she became the nation's first female prime minister. The extraordinary event, driven by Nepal's Gen Z activists who, after toppling the government of Prime Minister KP Sharma Ali through widespread anti-corruption protests, turned to Discord to propose and endorse Karki as their interim leader. Nepal's journey to this historic moment began with a wave of youth-led protests that erupted in response to a controversial government decision to ban 26 different social media platforms, including the bigs, Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, X, for failing to comply with registration requirements. Watch me now. I want to try and not side with the state for just trying to protect your kids from groomers online. The ban, announced in early September 2025, so not a lot of warning, was perceived as an attempt to stifle free expression and curb the growing influence of digital activism. This move, coupled with long-standing grievances over systemic corruption, nepotism, and economic inequality, ignited a firestorm among Nepal's youth, particularly those from Generation Z, born roughly between 1996 and 2012. The protests, initially organized online, quickly spilled onto the streets of Kathmandu and other parts of the country. What began as a demonstration against the social media ban, evolved into a broader movement against the lavish lifestyles of Nepo kids, the privileged children of Nepal's political elite, and the entrenched corruption within the government. The protests turned violent, with clashes between demonstrators and security forces resulting in at least 51 deaths and 1,300 injuries. On 9 September, protesters set fire to government buildings, including the Singha Durbar, which houses Nepal's parliament and key ministries, plunging the nation into chaos. The following day, Prime Minister Ali resigned, citing responsibility for the deaths and escalating the unrest, which generally is always the case when the cops send in the security forces. That's when skulls get cracking and things suddenly turn violent. Plus, there's a rapping mayor, too. James, I kind of find this story funny, as they do admit in this version of the article. They're trying to act like it's against government corruption, which I'm pretty sure has been along and around longer than their digital whoopee. But this does seem pretty interesting, and there are other interesting uprisings around the globe. In Indonesia, president says lawmakers' perks to be cut after deadly protest. Indonesian President Subianto said political parties have agreed to revoke a number of perks and privileges for their own Nepo babies and parliamentarians in a major concession to people taking part in anti-government protests that have killed, thankfully, only 5. In Australia, the march against endless immigration and housing pain, as macrobusiness.com puts it. The ABS recently confirmed that the Albanese government accrued about 1.4 million in net migration over 2022 to this year, 2025, a staggering 80% higher than the 2007 to 2010 record of present-day U.S. Ambassador Kevin Rudd. In the Philippines, 13 rallies recorded in Manila during Black Friday protests. The Philippine National Police said it monitored 13 rallies in different parts of Metro Manila in what activists and groups described as Black Friday protests. In an interview, PNB spokesperson said the rallies condemning widespread corruption in government projects, particularly those concerning flood control, were generally peaceful as no untoward incident was reported. And finally, in the UK, Unite the Kingdom rally drew in millions following Charlie Kirk's death. Protesters said they were there to demand the right to free speech and urge lawmakers to crack down on mass immigration. Though planned before his assassination, the crowds also mourned the death of conservative influencer Charlie Kirk. Monday morning, James, on My Morning Monarchy, they was trying to say, oh, it was maybe about 100,000. Discord democracy, James?
I guess it couldn't be any stupider than, you know, paper ballot in a box democracy. It's all equally stupid. But hey, if people want to explore different ways of doing democracy, here's a new word for you. Futarchy. F-U-T-A-R-C-H-Y. Look it up. If you happen to be a statist and insist on such systems of control. But anyway, I'm not going to poo-poo the people of Nepal for actually getting off their asses and rising up against the government. Sure, corruption has existed for decades, generations, centuries, millennia. But you know, didn't see any Gen Xers getting off their lazy asses to do anything about it because they didn't care. The old adage was, nobody's going to rise up until you take away the cheeseburger, beer, and football. Well, now it's nobody's going to rise up until you take away the Instagram, Facebook, and WhatsApp. Whatever. At any rate, at least people are rising up. But are they doing it for the right reasons and in the right way? And are they doing the right things? Or are they just trying to get a new gang of criminals into the positions of pathocracy? I'm holding my breath on that one. But you know what this story really brings to mind, James? We're talking about Nepal and Indonesia and Australia and the UK and Philippines and all these protests and riots and unrest taking place around the world. It puts me in the mind of the fall of 2019. You might or might not remember at that time I wrote Your Guide to a World on Fire, in which I noted the protests and various riots and things that were happening in Bolivia and Chile and France and Hong Kong and Lebanon and all around the world at that time. And in that article specifically, I was saying this is reaching some sort of crisis breaking point. I wonder what's coming next. November 2019. Oh, that's right. We have a way of making sure everybody stays in their home and stops protesting. So, I wonder if things start, if things continue to ratchet up here, going into from the summer into the fall, protests rising around the world, I wonder if they have something up their sleeve. I hope there's no further stories in today's New World Next Week that has anything to do with, I don't know, scamdemic nonsense or anything along those lines. Let's just wait and see, huh, James?
We definitely know they're going to try and make some order out of all this chaos. I made the note, futarchy. You're going to make me look it up. That's how we get going. On New World Next Week, episode 604, our second story from oilprice.com. And again, everything we talk about on these shows has always been sourced and cited. It's one of my main pet, you know, peeves. I like things to be sourced and cited. I don't want a picture of the article. I want a link to the article. If it's now gone and it can't be found, okay, a picture will suffice. But generally, I'm an old man. I want a URL. Oilprice.com. Russia-China gas deal may seal new gas world order. The signing of the Power of Siberia 2 pipeline deal by the presidents of Russia and China was perhaps the biggest news to come out of the two leaders' meetings earlier this month. It was also the deal that may very well make the new global gas flow order permanent, potentially interfering with President Trump's energy dominance ambitions. The Power of Siberia 2, not some movie sequel. I guess in some ways it sort of is, though. The Power of Siberia 2 project has been in the works for years, yet China took its time deciding to commit to it. But now the decision has been made, and although deets have yet to be tailored, the signal is clear. China will be sourcing more natural gas from Russia, a lot more. The amount of gas Russia will be selling to China once the second Power of Siberia is completed would exceed 100 billion cubic meters? C-U-M. Okay, thanks. Whew. Sorry, you know, here in the States, we don't know that metric system. Incidentally, this is a similar amount to that which Russia was supposed to be sending to Europe after the completion of the second branch of the Nord Stream pipeline. This will not be happening now, not with EU leaders pledging to suspend all imports of evil Russian energy within 2 years, even as they keep buying Russian gas from Turk Stream and step up the LNG, liquid natural gas imports, from the most sanctioned country in the world. And they helped us win World War II. This will have to stop if the EU is serious about ending all Russian energy imports. As luck in geopolitics would have it, the EU has a ready and willing alternative supplier. U.S. gas suppliers have been on a roll, boosting production for the liquefaction plants along the Gulf Coast, the Gulf of America, eyeing the European market as a long-term demand source. The Trump administration has been encouraging this as part of its energy dominance agenda for both. The Russia-China pipeline deal is a problem. It is, however, a bigger problem for the European Union. European businesses have a competition problem. It stems from high energy costs that drive up final prices for things produced in Europe. China, on the other hand, has low energy costs that boost the competitiveness of Chinese-made products. You've maybe seen those in your stores. So China enjoys low-cost energy to enhance the competitiveness of its products on international markets, while Europe struggles with the impact of high-cost energy on its competitiveness. Now, the struggle is about to become chronic. Gazprom shares tumble after the Power of Siberia 2 deal announced. This from the Moscow Times. Shares of Russian energy giant Gazprom slumped after it announced it had signed a legally binding memorandum in China to advance construction of the long-delayed Power of Siberia 2 pipeline. Gazprom's stock closed down on the Moscow exchange, erasing more than 100 billion rubles, that is 1.2 billion USD in market value. James?
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it? Because I remember looking at this first story about this, Russia touting this new deal for this big pipeline project, and then immediately Gazprom prices slumping? Like, what? Why? Shouldn't they be going up? What's going on? Well, it turns out when you start scratching the surface of this story, there is more going on underneath. And one clue to this is the fact that they're touting, Russia, for example, is touting this quote-unquote legally binding memorandum of understanding about the project will go ahead at some point in the future. China has not even, I think, officially confirmed the signing of this memorandum yet, let alone the fact that this memorandum is not a contract and it doesn't include anything to do with pricing or, who's going to be paying for the pipeline or any of the details. So it's interesting, once you start to look at it, you start to realize Russia is very excited about this because they need markets for their gas and they need, stable sources of income that aren't tied to the U.S. empire and Europe and other potential foes. But China is not really in a position where it needs the LNG as much as Russia needs to sell it. So China is slow walking this, and China is going to, you better believe they're going to try to twist the screws and get as good a deal as they can with this. Almost certainly lower rates than Russia would get selling its gas to Europe. Reports are that China is actually pushing for Russian domestic prices on the LNG, which is heavily subsidized. So it would not be good market value for Gazprom, which is why it's, actually slumping after announcing this deal that isn't even a deal yet. There is more going on to this, but part of it is to do with China, of course, is not going to say no to a pipeline. They're just going to try to get the best deal that they can for it. And meanwhile, this just gives them more leverage, as I believe China hasn't even accepted any U.S. LNG since February because of all the trade war stuff going on. So, they need some other sources, but they're not hurting for it at the moment. So they're just going to slow walk this. And it just goes to show just how drastically and radically the 21st century geopolitical landscape is changing from the old 20th century verities. It seems Russia is kind of the junior partner of the Russia-China relationship at this point, and this is just another sign of that. So, I don't know. Make of this what you will. I think pipeline politics is an important part of the geopolitical game that doesn't get talked about a lot unless and until those pipelines just mysteriously explode. Russia must have blown up their own Nord Stream pipeline, guys. Maybe the future headline, Russia must have blown up their own Power of Siberia 2 pipeline, guys. Who knows why they did it? We'll see how that plays out. But anyway, I think this is an important story. I'm glad we put it on the record.
We had former President Biden saying on the record, that ain't going to happen, talking about Nord Stream. Something's gonna happen to that thing. And indeed it did. My media kind of comparison for what stocks typically do when things like this happen, like when Paramount last week said they want to buy Warner Brothers stock went up. In related economic news, James, and they touch on it barely in that oil price article, gasoline's burden on Americans' wallet the lightest since 2005. the early heady years of Iraq War II. We have not seen gas prices this low, and I believe there was a point where the aforementioned former President Biden opened up some U.S. oil reserves because he was trying to get reelected, and I believe some of that lower prices we're still enjoying thanks to that previous guy. This is New World Next Week, episode 604. I always have to double check up in the corner as the numbers just get higher and higher. And James, as you said, we were meeting in the fall of 2019, and little did we know how much was about to drastically change, and it might change again. Horizon hospitals resume mandatory masking as respiratory illnesses rise in New Brunswick, Canada. Grabbing this from the CBC, Horizon Health Network has reintroduced mandatory masking in all patient-facing clinical areas in all of its facilities, citing a rise in respiratory virus activity. All healthcare workers, patients, social visitors, and designated support people will be required to wear a medical-grade face mask, also known as a surgical or procedure mask, at all times in all inpatient units, outpatient ambulatory care clinics, and emergency departments in any other clinical setting, including waiting areas. With this upward trend, and knowing this time of year historically leads to further increase of viral transmission, Horizon is taking a proactive and precautionary measure, the regional health authority said in a news release. The release did not specify which respiratory illnesses we're supposed to be afraid of and which have even actually allegedly increased, and Horizon officials did not immediately respond to a request for comment from one of the biggest media organizations in the country of Canada. And I heard about this from our buddy Dan Dix at Press for Truth. Mandatory masking has been reinstated in New Brunswick hospitals in 2025. And yes, in related scamdemic news, and I don't have it on the list, James, and I'll mention it right here. Wondering if we would have other scamdemic foreshadowing news coming up. Wondering if some event might turn back around on us. Supervillain Ursula von der Leyen was recently giving a speech, her 2025 State of the Union speech, and said, "We may already be on the brink of the next global pandemic, and it's your misinformation that's killing grandma," she basically says. I will add that into the show notes. But what I was going to mention in other health scams, Oregon's Family Choice Urgent Care chain will pay basically $500,000 to settle allegations of pandemic Medicaid fraud. Man, wouldn't it have been awesome if the regular poors of us could have made millions off of the COVID fraud? And that's the thing you have to point out. The fraud isn't these guys. They're just, you know, they're just the symptoms of the system. The fraud was coming down from on high. And a follow-up to last week's story about the possible causes of autism, Tylenol. The maker, Kenvue CEO, lobbied RFK Jr., please don't cite Tylenol as the cause of autism. And I don't believe we've seen this report be released yet, but Kenvue shares fell more than 9%. They already gained about 1% back of the 10 that they lost. James, you've traveled a little recently, and I was in West Virginia a couple of weeks ago. Of course, I'm going to see people wearing masks in airports. That's unfortunately just a regular normal anymore. But have you noticed any increase in masking?
I certainly didn't notice it consciously. I was in Malaysia recently, for example, and I'm sure there must have been some people wearing masks, but I don't consciously remember seeing any, let alone many. Although if people are really keen, if there are Corporate Report members in the audience who are interested, they can go to my September open thread. I had a subscriber video just showing a little bit of Kuala Lumpur, my tour around there. And there's probably some crowd shots and outdoor shots there. You can go and see if you can find anyone wearing masks. But I certainly don't remember it. It wasn't a thing when I was traveling there anyway. And I haven't seen any more mask wearing than usual here in Japan. So I don't know if it's really catching on globally at this point. But yeah, the contagion of masking may be coming back. We'll have to see how far they try to push that. I think it would look different in 2025 than it did in 2020. I think more people would be incredulous at that. I'd like to think so anyway, but I guess we'll see. We'll see what angle they choose to approach this with. Yes, with regards to the pandemic, scamdemic fraud, billions that were ultimately sloshed around. I think we have to look at those exactly as you say, as a symptom of the real disease of the pathocracy, which created that in the first place. And really, all of that fraud was bribery, essentially, to make sure everybody's got an incentive, a reason for being at this table. Why are you going along with this fraud? Here's a few million reasons for you. Should we make it rain some more? That's the way this system, this broken, corrupt system, functions. So that is absolutely a symptom of the pathocracy, which deigns to rule over us. And if people want to know more about the pathocracy, I would suggest they check out my recent documentary on Descent into Madness, where I talk about that, and also the actual cure / solution for that problem.
So we're looking up a lot of ocracies on this New World Next Week. We run newworldnextweek.com, and more on that in just a moment, James. I'll throw it back to you, because I think you've got new things to talk about. I play the audio of these New World Next Week episodes after my Thursday morning show on Monarchy Radio at MediaMonarchy.com, and I am going to live stream video another of my marathon DJ sets for the Equinox. I think, James, I'm going to try and do these four times a year, do them on the Solstice and Equinox. They're nice, separated, quarterly events, and they're a fun thing for me to do, because I like DJing anyway. But again, they're also a fun kind of outreach, shooting for the folks who maybe don't check out Media Monarchy on a regular basis. Check out some of my musical and DJ skills. That'll be on my Twitter, on my BitChute, on my DLive. That is coming up this weekend for the Equinox. We're calling it Pump Up the Volume. That is Casbot to thank for that punny title. But NewWorldNextWeek.com has some new items by yours truly, right? Tell us more about them.
That is correct. So I opened and surprised you today by introducing myself as James Corbett of OpenSourceEducation.online, because it's been a couple of years since I've really pumped that website, but it still exists, OpenSourceEducation.online. I hope people will at least check it out. And it is a way of contextualizing my work in a educational format. Hey, you're interested in history, you're interested in literature, you're interested in economics, you're interested in politics, you're interested in psychology. Here are courses that you can take. And of course, the courses are just various links to some of the work that I've done on those subjects in particular over the years. Lessons that I think will be valuable for you in the pursuit of that knowledge. And it's, of course, like everything else, it's all there 100% for free, freely available. But if you want to download an actual download of each course and all of the lessons in it, in visual, video and audio and textual format, whatever they come in, those downloads are available for purchase from newworldnextweek.com. So check it out. There's the brand new psychology course that I've just put together, which obviously includes the aforementioned Descent into Madness documentary that I just dropped, as well as several other reports that I think are instructive and enlightening with regards to psychology, not only the evil ways that the pathocrats can manipulate us using psychological deception, but also how we can use psychological insight to actually gain a better understanding of how to free ourselves from the systems of control. So I think it is worth your time to at least check it out. Go to opensourceeducation.online, check it out. If you're interested, go to newworldnextweek.com and purchase the download.
And those are instant. It's honestly a great way to do something that doesn't have to involve the postal system. You immediately get the content. We immediately get the support. It is another great way to support both of our works. Speaking of all that, we are not going to be here next week. James, do you dare say why on air?
I'll be interviewing people and doing things, and people will see you in good time.
Okie doke. We'll leave it at there. New World Next Week, episode 604. Thanks so much, buddy.
No problem. See you next week. Or see you 2 weeks.